What is going on, everyone? This is a Family Divided podcast, and I'm your host, Kyle Gagliardi. And as always, I am joined by my family, my blood, my cousin, Tyler Walk. Tyler, we're back.
Did you ever think we were going to do this again? Let's be honest.
Deep down, yes.
Yeah.
This soon, since it's been maybe a year since we officially ended it, no. But it feels surreal to be here, to see our logo in the corner, and to be on a podcast with you, Tyler.
I know. It feels like we're guest celebrities on another podcast network, where now we're just here doing our old podcast on a new network. It just feels weird. It feels surreal. It feels good to start talking football again, because that's all I've been talking about with friends, family, coworkers. And I've got my mock draft. You came to me with the idea a month ago, and I said, yeah, let's just do it. Let's not say anything about it and just post it, because we don't need clicks. We're just here, man.
That's right. So we might do this from time to time. I don't want to say we're back, because we're definitely not. But we wanted to brand this as a Family Divided podcast, because this is where everything originated from. Every single year, we would do our own NFL mock draft, usually with a special guest. I know Mike Kubacki, the former co-host, has done episodes with us before, as has Zach Nickel, who we will bring in here a little bit. But if the people are tuning in, you know, they haven't seen our faces, obviously, in a couple years. We look different, or at least I look different.
Yeah, you look bald.
Much hair going on up here.
You got the same hairdo I got going on that I've had for a few years. Usually happens when you're about to turn 30.
That is about the time frame that you started to let it go. So that makes a lot of sense. But if they haven't been keeping up with us, Tyler, obviously you haven't been involved in podcasts. What's new with you? How have you been? Let the listeners know.
I'm good. A lot of things have happened over the torso of last year it was the end. Do you remember?
2022, we ended. Yep.
Yeah. So I moved. I've also moved. I got a puppy. Jenny's still here. Obviously, if you're talking about the last couple of years, you'd known about that. Yeah. And I'm really diving deep into sports card selling. So that's where it's at, you know.
Share all the stuff that you're doing, because I'm sure a lot of people that are listening might be interested in sports cards.
Yeah, I mean, I go to local card shows, set up or go to them and buy and sell my collection, or I pick up new stuff here and there. And I'm now on Whatnot. I stream pretty much every Friday night. It's going to be every Friday night from here until I don't know when, unless I have a better date. But you can find me on Whatnot at Claw Cards. It's KLAWKARDS.
Claw. A lot of K's. What's the reasoning behind all the K's?
Well, the first word, Claw, is my last name spelled backwards. So.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two together.
Yeah, no one really realizes it. Like, I was like, oh, Claw. It could have been a cool
I didn't understand the name when you followed me on Instagram, but now that makes a lot of sense. So that's good. I'm sure people have kept up with me. I'm still podcasting, doing things for OTSN. We still are a part of the Overtime Sports Network. You see the logo behind me. Not a website, but, you know, we still got podcasts representing the brand. I will be a part of another OTSN podcast later this week, live during the NFL draft. I'm going to hop on for the Green Bay Packers pick, which is now pick number 13, but it seems very fitting to bring in our special guest as we are about to talk about the draft. You have heard the voice. You've seen his face on other OTSN podcasts. Zach Nickel, welcome back to A Family Divided.
We're back. I feel like we've done this podcast almost every year. We didn't do one last year since, like you said, 2022, you guys stopped. I think we did an OTSN special, me, you, and Aaron did after the draft. So this is – we had a year break, so we're back with the mock draft. I'm excited to talk football at the end of April. With the Bears having four picks in the top 64, I've been doing a lot of, studying on all these draft picks and prospects. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to get after it, especially after the news that literally just happened 2 hours before we decided we were going to record one of these episodes. So I say we get to the big breaking news to start off this episode and get to that deal that just happened. You see the jersey I'm wearing right now. I figured I'd wear it one last time. The Jets and the Packers finally have made the deal. The Jets are receiving Aaron Rodgers, the Packers' number 15 pick, and a 2023 fifth rounder, while the Packers will receive that 13th pick. So they're basically swapping first. They get a 2023 second round, which will be the 42nd pick, a 2023 sixth rounder, and the big kicker, a conditional 2024 second round pick that would turn into a first rounder if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps. We are assuming if he is healthy that he is definitely going to do that. So, Tyler, let me go to you first. You're obviously not a Packers fan. You're a Bears fan. That's how Family Divided started. You know, I'm a Packers fan. He's the Bears fan. What is your gut reaction to seeing this deal and how everything shook out?
I mean, it was a long time coming. They've been talking about it for 3 months. It's just, as a Bears fan, it's really good to see him gone because he's literally, he's on the billboard with owners on the, on like Soldier Field. You got the McCaskies and then like a couple people up below that. And then there's Aaron Rodgers. So it's good to know that he's out of the division. It's, but for the Packers side of things, going all in on Jordan Love, the Jets are going all in on Aaron Rodgers. That might put them over the top in the AFC, in a very competitive AFC. But in the NFC, I mean, there's really not much going on quarterback-wise. There's only a few good quarterbacks, a lot of up-and-comers that were all hopeful that could be good. A lot of fan bases are built on hope right now. And now the Packers are one of them because they've hit almost 30-plus years of quarterbacks. So now they're hoping for 10 more. And, you know, it doesn't always happen. So we'll see that the if the Packers' luck continues.
Yeah, the Packers' track record with these their quarterbacks over the last 30 years has been pretty solid. I'm obviously not saying Jordan Love's going to be that because those are big shoes to fill. But, Nickel, after you saw this trade, obviously you didn't miss it. You missed it live because we were talking about it in our group chat. I believe you were probably coming home from work.
Yeah, but I was like 20 minutes late to the party. But
yeah, how do you feel about this deal? Do you think one of the teams got the better end of the stick here, or is it kind of a wait and see what happens?
You know, when I was hearing, you know, like Tyler said, over the past month, you knew this probably was going to happen. The Jets pretty much said, hey, we want Rodgers. Packers were willing to let him go. It was just trying to find that middle ground with them because I think the Packers wanted the Jets' first-round pick this year so they could have two picks, you know, right in the middle of the draft. Jets were like, no, we're not going to do that if we're going to take on his whole contract. Like, we'll give you one of our second-round picks because Jets have 2 second-round picks this year. Well, they kind of found a middle ground. You know, I think the Packers got – good amount from the Jets, especially if a second rounder does turn into a first rounder next year. But you know what? The Jets are getting a QB that they can afford that, what, it has 3 more years left on his contract. So, like I said, I knew it was going to happen. I think this is a great week to have it happen because you had the draft on Thursday. You wanted it to happen before the draft. So I saw the reports last night that they were going to re-engage talks first thing Monday morning, and yeah, they came to a deal, and now officially Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that. I really thought Aaron Rodgers was going to spend his whole career in Green Bay, but I think this is a great decision for both the teams because, like you guys said, the Jets are finally getting a quarterback, and you know there's going to be no competition there, even though Zach Wilson said he's going to make the life hell of whoever comes in to New York. Good luck with that, Zach Wilson. I think you're going to have troubles beating out Aaron Rodgers, but obviously, it's a win for the Jets if they like make it far in the playoffs, but we obviously don't know how far they're going to go quite yet. And it makes sense for Green Bay, who want to know what they got out of Jordan Love, the guy they invested in a couple years ago. And like we were talking about before we hit the record button, they got to make a decision if they want to pick up that fifth-year option by May 1st. So getting a deal done here late April, you still got time to decide, which I'm assuming – they're going to give Jordan Love that fifth year, give him 2 years to prove if he is the guy, and then we will find out. But I honestly am surprised to see Green Bay get that first-round pick, and granted, they just swapped it and moved up 2 spots. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. But you saw reports, Tyler, that the Jets didn't want to get rid of that first-round pick, and I find it even more interesting that that conditional pick can turn into another first-rounder because, let's be honest, if the Jets don't make it to the playoffs or make a solid run, Green Bay is probably going to win this trade.
Yeah, I mean, just depends on how long Aaron Rodgers plays, too. If he plays 1 year, 2 years, or all 3 of his years on his contract, he can literally play this last year with the Jets. It can go sideways, kind of like the new example is Russell Wilson in Denver. It just goes completely sideways, and he's just like, I'm going to retire. And then they lose 2 spots in this year's draft, which I don't think is going to make a difference. They lose all those smaller picks, but then they might lose a first round next year. And if it does go sideways, it can be a top 10, top 15 pick. So I like the trade for the Packers and getting picks back, but I also, it's a win-win. Like the Jets get their quarterback, the Packers get their picks and get to move on. So it was going to happen. It was not a secret whatsoever. So think it's a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, it finally happened. And you talk about not having those picks this year. They basically went out and got all their quote-unquote picks by signing all these free agents, bringing in guys that Aaron Rodgers has already had chemistry with. So I think they're just going to be fine there in New York. I'm excited to see how the Packers are going to look this season. And now we had to switch up our NFL mock draft a little bit as they swap 13 and 15. But speaking of that mock, we're going to go through in depth with the top 15 picks. And then after that, we'll kind of rattle off the last half of the first round. So let's just get into it, guys. Let's go to the pick number one. Nickel, I'll let you go first here because your Bears did have this pick. They got a King's ransom back for the number one pick, a good deal that we have talked about before. But who is the guy for Carolina? Obviously, they're probably going quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, when they made this trade, Carolina, I think they had someone in mind. I mean, they weren't going to give up, you know, D-more, a couple first-rounders, a second-rounder, if they weren't set on one particular person. I think over the last couple of weeks, that person is going to be Bryce Young. You know, I think he's the best quarterback prospect in this draft, talent-wise. I know there's some concern on his size. He's only, you know, he just measured just over 5'10". You know, he's under 200 pounds. He would be the first quarterback drafted that high since McMahon. That's under 6 foot and under 200 pounds. So,
Nickel, I think you're cutting out a little bit on me and T-Walks, and you might have to leave the stream and come back in and check out that internet connection. But I believe Nickel said that he is taking Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers at number one, correct, Tyler?
That's exactly what he said. And in my mock, I'm going to have to agree with him. I'm going to base off what he said. I know he was a little choppy there a little bit. I'm not sure if the viewers heard. I heard some of what he was saying. But, yeah, when they traded up for number one, there was a lot of talk about, oh, maybe it's going to be C.J. Stroud because he's more prototypical quarterback. He's bigger frame. I mean, but I think they started doing some digging and found out, because there's some things about C.J. Stroud that are not good right now, that Bryce Young is an amazing talent. He's got good vision. He's an excellent accuracy quarterback. He's able to move in the pocket, which is part of his game because he's so small. He's going to have to move around the pocket. And because he's so small, there are a lot of teams out there like, well, why should he be the number one pick? Well, he did it at Alabama. So all these guys in the SEC are big. Big boys. These are big guys in the SEC.
The best athletes in college football.
Yeah. If he can do it there, he might be able to translate that to the NFL. Might. But it's going to take some adjustments. But, I mean, in 2021, he had his best season. 2022, he had a down year. But in 2021, he threw for almost 5,000 yards and 47 touchdowns. And last year, almost 1,500 yards less, 15 less touchdowns. But it all comes back to the size, and that's what people are looking at. I don't care. I think he should have been the number one pick regardless. I think the Carolina Panthers are smart for taking Bryce Young with this pick.
So, Nickel, I'll let you speak on this again because you probably were cutting in and out for the listeners.
Can you guys hear me fine?
You sound better now. Yep. So you had Bryce Young going number one, correct?
Yeah. I was saying, Bryce Young, number one for sure, I think, at this point. Like Tyler was kind of saying at the end, the size is the issue. But I was saying before, too, it would be the first quarterback selected this high since Jim McMahon. That's under 6 foot and under 200 pounds. So that is a big concern in today's NFL, but I think he's just his pure talent. You saw it against that game against Kansas State in the bowl game. I think it's the best Pierce passer in this draft. So I think Bryce Young is the Carolina Panthers pick. You know, they traded up, got all these, you know, gave away all these assets for him. So I think Young's the guy.
Yeah, I have Bryce Young as well going number one to the Carolina Panthers, and this shouldn't really shock anybody if you've been paying attention to all this mock draft talk that the Panthers are really high on Bryce Young, and for good reasons, for like you guys said, and obvious concerns as well. The size, he's getting compared to Drew Brees, and Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, so I think you'll take that comparison all day, every day. But for me personally, he's not my favorite quarterback in the draft, and that has bitten me in the ass saying that in past year's draft. I have said that Josh Rosen was the best in the draft class years ago. That obviously didn't pan out, so don't take what I'm saying as a fact because it probably isn't true. But I'm not as high as on Bryce Young as many other people are, but I do believe that is who the Carolina Panthers are going to take at number one. So clean sweep to start off this year's draft. Let's go over to the number two pick, the Houston Texans, who really fucked up not getting the number one pick by beating the Chicago Bears there in the final week of the NFL season. Tyler, I'll let you go first here. The Texans, this is an interesting spot because they obviously wanted Bryce Young. They won't get him if the Panthers are taking him at number one.
Right. There was a lot of smoke screens out there that Carolina was going to take Stroud, and it probably kind of hurt the Houston Texans tradeability because they were like, we don't want to trade. They probably hung up the phone a couple of times. You're like, no, we're going to end up getting Bryce Young. But then the reports start coming out that Bryce Young is probably going to be a Panther. The shit show starts because now you're hearing reports like, oh, maybe they don't want this guy. They don't want this guy. And I think Houston's going to go Will Anderson with the number two pick. I think they're going to wait for their quarterback later in this draft or next year, but they're going to get the number one overall player with elite athleticism. He ran a 4.6 40 dash. I mean, he put up almost 30 sacks in 3 years in college and almost 50 tackles for loss. I mean, he's going to be your best. He's the safest pick. And I know that's a word like, okay, safe, but he's the number two pick of the overall draft. But yeah, you're going to get a really good player on your defensive line. And the Texans are just like the Bears, just like last year. They had a lot of holes to fill. They're going to need Will Anderson. I think that's what the new coach, D'Amico Ryans, is going to want too. So I think Will Anderson will be your number two pick overall.
That's a good point that I didn't think about. D'Amico Ryan's a defensive-minded coach, obviously. That would make sense there at number two. Nickel, who do you got the Houston Texans taking?
Same with Tyler, Will Anderson Jr. I think there's a lot of reports coming out that are saying Texans, you know, they're not just going to take a quarterback if they don't like him. You know, there's other needs on this team. Will Anderson, I think, is more for sure thing than any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Tyler, like you were saying, almost 30 sacks in three seasons. I think he had 27 and a half the past 2 years against SEC talent. So that's a really big thing. And he's just a great edge rusher. So I know there's reports on Twitter that the Texans really, really like Will Anderson. So why not just take him at the second pick? You have two picks in the top 12. So if you don't like one of the quarterbacks, and I'm hearing they're not really sold on Stroud, don't take him. Take the for sure defensive piece that you need. So I think it's Will Anderson Jr.
And you got another pick, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, you guys talk about those reports. I've been seeing the same thing, but when I look at it through my eyes, I think C.J. Stroud is the most for sure thing at quarterback in this year's draft, which I'm going to put you on danger watch now since I said the same thing about Rosen, going back to that take once again. But I really believe in C.J. Stroud. I think the Houston Texans kind of just got to suck it up and take a quarterback here because Davis Mills isn't going to be that guy of the future. Sure, they could tank for one more year and get a guy like Caleb Williams out of USC, who is one of the most for sure things coming out of next year's draft, probably going to be the number one pick no matter what. But I think you take the guy while you got him right here. I go C.J. Stroud to the Houston Texans. Sometimes these reports come out and it's a smoke screen just to throw people off that are right behind them in the draft. So I have them still sticking with the quarterback, going C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State at number two. As much as I think Will Anderson going to the Texans makes sense, I feel like the quarterback, and we've said it numerous times in past episodes, the most important position in sports. So take C.J. Stroud there at number two. That's what I got for the Houston Texans. Let's move to number three. The Arizona Cardinals would be on the clock. Nickel, I will let you go first here for number three.
So I don't have a trade in this situation, but I think the Cardinals is a trade candidate or for someone to move up to this spot, especially if Texans don't take a quarterback. But I still have the Cardinals picking here. They need a lot. I think Cardinals might be one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. So I have them going defense. I have them going Tyree Wilson, edge out of Texas Tech. Here's another edge guy. He's a beast. He's kind of a one-year wonder. He broke out late, but he's still young. He's only 21 years old. He's 6'6", 275 pounds, big bull rusher. And, you know, I think he's a top five talent. So I think the Cardinals will take defense here and take Wilson.
If they're still at that pick and Will Anderson is gone, I like that pick for them definitely. But Will Anderson is still on my board. So I have the Cardinals taking the best player in the draft. They're another one of those teams that need a lot at many different positions. Get a for sure thing in Will Anderson, like you guys talked about in pick number two. I just have him going here, number three, to the Arizona Cardinals if they stay where they're at, because they obviously could be a prime trade candidate. But Tyler, do you have the Cardinals picking at number three? I should ask you first.
I don't, actually. This is my only trade that I can really mock in the draft that I thought was, this is like one of those big trades. I'm like, all right, I think something fishy's going on here, especially if Will Anderson's off the board. Will Anderson's off the board, then they were going to trade this. They have to trade this pick. They are bad. Just like Nickel said, they are one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And I've seen one of the worst rosters in the NFL and lived through it and saw it happen.
Numerous times.
Not just this year, but last year was equally the worst. But still, I think they're going to trade the pick. And I think someone in front of Indy is going to jump them in their division. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to move up to number three. And draft C.J. Stroud just because Tannehill might be on the block. There's reports coming out from that. They don't trust Malik Willis one bit.
Would you?
And no, not at all.
Same.
Not one bit. And I think Tennessee trades up from, I think it was 11, if I'm not mistaken.
11, yep.
Yeah, 11 to 3 for C.J. Stroud. I mean, they're just like Kyle said. He's your quarterback. He's your prototypical quarterback. He's got a strong arm. He was a Heisman finalist in back-to-back years. In two straight years, he threw for over 40 touchdowns. He's not the one knock on him. He's not the biggest playmaker out of the pocket. He had a lot of people doing the work for him. Look at those receivers he's had for the last few years.
Insane.
There. I know. Insane. It's just like
Garrett Olave, Wilson, Jigma, Smith, Najiba.
Yeah, you're just you need to start naming them off. Oh, Marvin and let's not forget Marvin Harrison's still there. Yeah. So, like, I think there's a lot to say about that, but. I think Tennessee is going to roll the dice here and move up and get them because if Indy's sitting there, they might take them too. So I think they're going to do that and thwart Indy's plans altogether.
It's going to be an interesting pick for sure. I do not expect the Cardinals to stay there. I just didn't want to do the trade because that takes a lot of work and thinking, and I don't want to do a lot of work and thinking here.
I just want to three for 11 and maybe add some picks. That's all.
Yeah, they probably add some future picks as well. So let's move on to the fourth pick, the Indianapolis Colts, another team that need a quarterback, and I think that is the direction they're definitely going to be going here at number four. I have the Indianapolis Colts selecting Anthony Richardson from Florida. I think this is a very risky pick if they were to do it. I think him or Will Levis is very risky, but you really don't have any other options because you haven't traded for Lamar Jackson or gotten a big name in free agency, and you're not going to go out there with Matt Ryan. So it's definitely going to be a quarterback here at number four. Anthony Richardson has a strong arm. He can make that big throw, but inconsistent at times. I think it's a risky play here at number four, but I think that's the direction they're going to be going. Tyler, what about you?
I'm actually in the same boat. I agree. I think they're going to take Anthony Richardson, and I think it all works out for them because they kind of want him to begin with, but they'd probably settle with Stroud if that was the case. I think they take Richardson. They turn the card in really quick too, because at this point, like, what are you going to take? You're going to take what, Levis or Richardson? Are you going to trade back? There's a lot of things in this draft that people can do. But they're gonna take the upside, hope that he turns into some sort of mold, because he's not accurate. He only passed for 2,500 yards last year. You know, he's got all the ability in the world. He only threw for 17 touchdowns, and he turns the ball over. So, I mean, they're just going to risk it because quarterbacks and getting 5 years on a quarterback is one of the biggest pluses in the NFL.
Well, it's also better than signing washed old QBs and doing nothing.
Five years.
So I think they need to draft a young quarterback here, Nickel. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I still have C.J. Stroud on my board, so I think he's going to go to Indianapolis. I think Jim Irsay told Chris Ballard, like, we're done with the one-and-dones for the veterans. We need a rookie quarterback. So I think at this point, I still have C.J. Stroud on my board. I think he's the best available. Yeah, people are having their questions. It's coming up, like, you know, he scored low on that one test. He can't, you know, make plays out of the pocket. He had so much weapons around him in college. So maybe that's why the Texans don't want him. But, you know, C.J. Stroud, I still think is going to go top five. Colts really need a QB. It's time to start building around that QB. So C.J. Stroud to Indy.
Man, if he slides to number four, I think that would be a great pick for the Indianapolis Colts. That would be very fun to watch. And what if the Colts struggle next year and they draft a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. in next year's draft?
That'd be nice.
You just get the heir to the throne right there. You have Marvin Harrison. Now bring his son in there. It would be a pretty cool moment. If I was a Colts fan, that's what I'd be hoping for. But we all have quarterbacks going to the Colts. Tyler and I got Richardson. And Nickel has C.J. Stroud falling to number four. So that then takes us to the Seattle Seahawks at number five. Tyler, who do you have them taking?
So I got Seattle having another risky pick. I have them going Jalen Carter from Georgia, defensive tackle. there's a lot to say about Jalen Carter, especially his off the field issues and the dumbass he has been. So there's that. But
don't sugarcoat it now.
You can't deny what he can do on the field. He's got an explosive first step. He's got rare lateral quickness, and he's good against double teams. He's able to plug holes. He's able to do his job up the middle. He's able to rush the quarterback, but he just never really had elite sack numbers. He's able to get there, so it's more of like pressures, but he takes up so much inside. I think Seattle's run defense is missing that because San Francisco ran all over them in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So they need someone like that, but there's always these questions. It's not even the off-field issue. Some people are worried about his on-field issues and how he doesn't have a high motor. I want to see it, or he doesn't have love football. Part of me is starting to think that there's this like smear campaign out there. Like people want him to keep falling. Maybe like the Bears are like, hey, maybe the Bears can keep putting out information to get him to 9. So we'll see what happens. But I think Seattle's like, this guy's too good to pass up.
Nickel, do you agree, or are you going in a different direction?
No, I'm going a totally different direction. I have the Seattle Seahawks taking Anthony Richardson, quarterback. So, you know, say, oh, hey, they just signed Geno Smith. But guess what? This contract was set up for Smith. It's pretty much a one-year deal. So why not? You just took Denver's pick. So it's not even a pick you originally had. You're up in a top, you know, you're up there in the top five. You have a athletic, work-in-progress quarterback, Anthony Richardson. You take him. Sit him behind Geno Smith for a year, try to build him up and see what you have, because this could be a home run pick right here. So, you know, Geno Smith's definitely not the long-term answer. He's what, 34, 35 years old. They just signed him to a contract. But like I said, if you look at the contract number, it's pretty much guaranteed money for 1 year. So, you know, I think Seattle takes the ball on this and drafts Anthony Richardson at this point.
I did not see that pick coming from you, but I don't hate it. I'm going to actually agree with Tyler. I have the Seahawks taking Jalen Carter. I think if there was any team that's not going to pass up just because of off-field issues, it would be the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think they're afraid to draft a guy like Jalen Carter. And I think you could argue that he is one of, if not the best prospect in this draft. But it is a risk after all said and done. I think they do it anyways at number 5 for the reasons Tyler said. He's going to take up space. He's going to eat up tackles. He's going to do his job, and the Seahawks need a guy like that. So I have Jalen Carter going number 5 to the Seattle Seahawks as well. So that will then take us to number 6, a divisional foe here in the Detroit Lions. Nickel, a lot of directions they can go here at number 6.
Well, this is my one trade.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah,
so I have –
pop up the graphic. Trade alert.
Houston Texans trading up from their 12th spot to the Detroit Lions number 6 spot and taking Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky. There's a lot of reports coming out now that Will Levis is their favorite quarterback. That's why right now, if you look on DraftKings, Will Levis is projected to go number 2 to the Texans. But I think they wait on it. I think they trade up so, you know, a team like the Tennessee Titans don't trade up. And I think the Lions are willing to trade back at this spot because there's a lot of directions the Lions can go, and I think they could get their guy at 12. So Will Levis, I know there's some questions about him, but his O-line was awful at Kentucky, and he had no receivers. So maybe put him in a spot where, you know, give him some weapons, get an offensive line around him, build up around him, even if you need to start Davis Mills for one more year. But, you know, there's a lot of reports that are saying that Houston really likes Levis right now. So I have him trading up and taking him instead of taking him at number 2.
Do you think if the Lions stayed at number 6, there'd be any chance they'd take a quarterback, or are they just going to deal with
Goff? I don't think they will. Cause you know what? Goff has shown that he could be that guy. If you put weapons around him, their offense has been great the last 2 years. So I don't think they take a quarterback here, especially in a draft class that, you know, the quarterbacks, there's not a lot of for sure things in this draft. So I don't think the Lions take a quarterback here.
And I still think the Lions will have a chance in the later rounds to maybe draft a quarterback just in case. Exactly. Cause you know, we're not 100% sure if Goff is going to be able to do what he did last year. But I don't have a trade here. I don't have a trade in my first round, even though that will definitely happen. So I have the Lions taking a cornerback here. I have them taking Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. There's a lot of good corners in this draft, and I think they can go in a lot of different spots. It really just depends on what the team likes. I think Witherspoon's going to land here in Detroit. It's a positional need for the Lions. They probably are the NFC North favorite. This can only help them as long as they decide not to gamble anymore, because obviously the suspensions that have came their way for gambling problems. So I have them going Witherspoon here at number six, Tyler.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I have Detroit taking Devon Witherspoon as well. From Illinois, hasn't had a top 10 pick in a very, very long time. I think they do it because they took another big hit to their secondary. As you mentioned, the gambling. I mean, they lost Lion safety CJ Moore is gone. So that's more depth out of there. But they need more corners. They need to find a way on the outside. Because they gave up a lot of points last year. And it wasn't just the run game. It was the pass game as well. They just weren't good on defense. They picked it up toward the end of the year when they started winning games. But yeah, they need to build their secondary. I think Devon Witherspoon's a perfect pick. He's got a high motor. He's going to fit right in well with Detroit. He's tough and physical. But the only issue is this: he's just small. So he might get grabby in coverage, but I think he's the perfect Detroit Lion for them. And I'd be happy with him or, honestly, Christian Gonzalez, but he's going to fall. They're going to take Witherspoon here.
Take Witherspoon, and Christian Watson is going to burn him every chance that he gets because the Packers are back, ladies and gentlemen.
If Jordan Love can get him the football.
Well, he'll be able to get it too. The best completion percentage with passes over 20 attempts. Jordan Love. Look it up.
Jordan Love right
it's
now.
A fact. It's a fact.
Oh, God.
At number seven, the Las Vegas Raiders would be on the clock. And surprisingly, I have them taking quarterback Will Levis here. I know they just signed Jimmy G. I believe it is a three-year deal, correct, for Jimmy G?
It is a three-year deal. 2 years guaranteed.
But a lot of uncertainty with him. Health issues of the past, obviously. Is he going to be able to do what he was doing in a new system? Because we know he might have been a system quarterback there in San Fran. I think Will Levis would be able to learn from Jimmy G. Not having him start right away might be best for him so he can just understand the NFL a little bit more, get a couple years under his belt under Jimmy G, and then maybe he'll succeed in Las Vegas. I don't think he will. I think he's going to be a bust. I think Will Levis is garbage. But I think Las Vegas Raiders would take the risk here. Maybe they can find their quarterback of the future in a couple of years and draft him here at number seven. Tyler, who do you got the Raiders taking at seven?
I do not have them taking a quarterback. They just paid Jimmy G. So they got Jimmy G for all that money. So I think they're going to stay with him for a little bit, like a little plug and play. But I think on my board, Tyree Wilson's still available, and they need pass rushing. They're bad too. Last year, Vegas compiled 27 sacks. That's 18 games. Was that 17 games, 27 sacks? Not a very good sack ratio there. They need help there. And Tyree Wilson has one of the highest pressure rates in the NCAA. Last year, I think it was fourth at 16%. I know he was a one-year wonder, but they need to start filling holes too because they couldn't get it done with all that talent last year. And I think Tyree Wilson's the best fit. They could go quarterback, but I think Will Levis is garbage too. And I think a lot of teams know that, so he's going to keep falling.
I'm glad we're on the same page there for Will Levis. Nico, what about you?
I've taken Christian Gonzalez, cornerback out of Oregon. They really need secondary help. And this guy, he's tall, very athletic corner, had a breakout year last year with Oregon. He was a transfer from Colorado, had four interceptions. So, yes, I think the Raiders, they need a lot of secondary help. Their secondary gave up a lot of points and yards last year. So Christian Gonzalez will step in right away and help him. So Christian Gonzalez.
For the record, Christian Gonzalez is probably my favorite corner in this draft. So take that with what you will. But let's move on to number eight. Tyler, I'll let you go first. The Atlanta Falcons, a team that was very active this offseason. A lot of new faces coming to Atlanta. Who do you have them taking here in the top 10?
I have them taking Christian Gonzalez, another corner. I mean, their defense is – they really need an edge rusher, but I don't think they're going to reach for one here. They could go Nolan Smith as well, and I have a couple of good ones off the board. But I'm gonna have them going Christian Gonzalez to pair with AJ Terrell, so they'll have their one and two corners of the future
ready. Young to go boys for, too,
yeah, young, ready yes. to go. They're gonna start building their core, so I think that's a good pick. I mean, they can go many different ways. Atlanta's not great. They can go Bijan Robinson. They can go Nolan Smith if Jalen Carter falls. They have so many picks. Atlanta's in one of those spots where they need a lot of things. So especially and their quarterback is what did
who they Desmond just Ritter.
Desmond Ritter. Didn't they sign anyone else? Am I mistaken? Or is that?
They might have signed a backup or something that I.
Huntley, maybe? Or not Huntley.
I thought they signed someone else. I'll look it up while we're going.
Heineke, Christian Gonzalez. Taylor Heineke, I think.
I think it was Heineke. There yeah. it is.
He might end up taking over as quarterback of the Falcons.
I don't know. Ritter with this small amount of time last year. He wasn't awful. You know, he was. And they don't have a lot. I mean, Pitts has not lived up to his hype. You know, no. Their best receiver was Drake London, who was a rookie. So who knows? You know, put some
Taylor Heineke. It was Heineke.
Yeah. So
that's fair. Jury's still out on Desmond Ridder. So who do you have the Falcons taking at number 8, Nickel?
So I have Jalen Carter still there. So I think Atlanta takes the guy, you know, keeps him in the state of Georgia. You know, really help this defensive line. It needs work all around. So, you know, put Jalen Carter in the middle. I think he's going to wreak havoc. Yeah, I know there's a lot of questions, his off-field issues. You know, does he enjoy the game of football? Does he take plays off? But I really don't see him dropping out of the top 10. I think he's just that good of a prospect and that good of a talent, because when he does go, he should be a, you know, one or two pick if, you know, if these quarterbacks weren't in this draft and he didn't have these off-field issues. So I think Falcons is going to roll with Carter here.
Let's be honest. We all slack off a little bit in our jobs. You know, sorry to my employer that may be watching this, but we all do it. We're all guilty of it. It happens. But I don't know what you're talking about. Jalen Carter is getting paid millions of dollars, so it's a little different. If I was getting paid millions, you would get my best effort. Yeah,
every second.
So I guess in hindsight, maybe not. I'm just trying to defend Jalen Carter because I do think he's super talented. But I'm going to get weird here, guys, with the 8th pick. A lot of people don't like taking this position this high in drafts, but I think he is a raw talent. Bijan Robinson from Tejas going here, number 8 to the Falcons. I think he's a good fit for this offense. I think you can use him in the RPO. I think he plays right away. They really don't have a for sure starting running back, and I think Robinson's probably the most for sure thing out of the backfield in this draft. Might as well, like you guys said, they got other positions to address. Go get the best player on the board. In my opinion, Bijan Robinson could be that guy. So I have him going to the Falcons here at number 8, which then takes us to your guys' beloved Chicago Bears, who now have the 9th pick. You might be spending some more time on this pick, which is fine, because I'm sure a lot of our audience is very interested in what the Chicago Bears do here, Nickel. So I will let you go first. Who do you got the Bears taking at number 9?
You know, they could go a lot of directions. You know, they could be the, you know, Pace could go, or not Pace, sorry, Poles could go, hey, I'm going to take the best player available, or I'm going to go towards my needs. And I think they go to the need route. I really think they need a tackle, solidify this offensive line. You know, they signed Nate Davis in the offseason as a guard. I think you need that one tackle, a right tackle. Or if they want to move Braxton Jones over to the right tackle and put Paris Johnson Jr. on the left. This could also be a trade down candidate. I think there's a lot of talks they might trade down. They really like Darnell Wright because he's a pure right tackle. He's probably the best right tackle in this draft. But I don't have them trading out of the spot, so I think they take Paris Johnson Jr. Very young. He just turned 21 not too long ago. He has all the tools to be a long-term starter at any of the tackle positions. So, you know, played in the Big Ten, had a lot of competition. So I like Paris Johnson Jr. to the spot. I really think they should take a tackle. Whether they take Darnell Wright here or Paris Johnson or another tackle, or they trade down, whatever they do. But I think it's time to take a first round tackle and, you know, make them a long-term player for your franchise.
Hypothetically speaking, if Jalen Carter is still on the board, do you want your Bears taking him here?
I'm so indifferent about it. I mean, if the reports are true and like, he doesn't like football and he's, you don't know about his personality and stuff, I don't think that's a Poles guy. Like, Poles is trying to build a culture here with people that love football. Like, Eberflus' system and Poles' mentality is like, we want guys that love football and want to be here. And if Jalen Carter doesn't fit that role, then guess what? They're not going to pick him, even maybe if they fall. Because if he does fall, then maybe like, hey, we have Carter. Someone trade up with us and give us more picks. So I think they go that route if Carter does fall to them.
Tyler, do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, they could. That could happen. I don't want him personally. I know it would be a complete steal, but like, I just don't know about the guy. All that stuff that comes out like that before the draft, like right after, before the draft, it just
happened with Jeremy Tunsil. He's been okay.
I know, but if he's there, I mean, but that was just a pitcher. Like, they had a pitcher. We're talking about people's lives that this guy just neglected, essentially. So let's just look at it like that. But also, if he's there, he's there. They're going to take him. I'm not going to be upset with it. I also agree with all of Nichols' takes. They need a tackle as well. They can go – if they go offensive line or defensive line, I'm a happy guy. They're addressing two of their weaknesses.
I'll make it quick for you then, because I'm sure you got a bit to say. I've said it since they drafted Justin Fields. Protect Justin Fields. You saw what he is capable of doing, whether that be with his legs more than his arm. Gotcha, bitch. But you have to protect your quarterback. So I have the Bears selecting Paris Johnson Jr., another Buckeye. So it's a solid fit with Justin Fields. And like Nickel said, he's been going against top competition in the Big Ten. I think Paris Johnson is ready. I think he's going to have a good lengthy career. And that's what you want if you're the Chicago Bears to, you know, go alongside of Justin Fields for the future. So I got them taking Paris Johnson here, Tyler.
For me, I have them going on defense. I have them taking Nolan Smith. I know it's a little bit of a reach, couple of picks up. But everything I see and hear about the guy after doing some research, it feels like he's a polls guy, an Eberflus guy. This dude runs. He loves football. He runs a 4.39. He's a defensive edge rusher. He runs a 4.39. He's 6'2", 240. Like, he's going to be perfect because they have no pass rush. They have no run-stopping ability. They also have no other block for Justin Fields. This entire draft could be all offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and I wouldn't be upset. That's how bad it is for them right now. But Nolan Smith was the former top overall player in the country before he came out and got hurt. And he tore his – coming off a pectoral injury, he was out for the season. So I think that hurt his draft stock. If not, he could have been going top five. I think Nolan Smith is that one of those guys that he's kind of special. And the fact that he's falling, he also has risen up the boards. I think he was a late first round pick, has now risen up into the mid first round. I think
just the Bears are gonna, pretty much.
Yeah, just because I think the Bears are going to fall in love with him and take him. Or, I mean, they can take anyone on the offensive defensive line, but I think they should take him. And I have a mock there. But if Paris Johnson, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Peter Skoronski, there's just name of start naming everybody.
Yeah.
Just start naming people and I'd be happy. Trade back and get the people you want too. Darnell Wright as well.
I wouldn't mind more draft picks. I mean, I think they could get someone if they even trade down to like maybe Tampa spot at 19, Pittsburgh spot at 17, they could get their guys still there. So wouldn't mind if they traded back.
I wouldn't be surprised if either of our teams traded back for the position that they're in, just to get some more assets for the future. But that's Chicago Bears there at number 9. Let's go to the NFC champions.
Hey, can I go first? I got to make a call real quick. So, Bijan Robinson. I'm going to just say it right now. I think the Eagles are in win now mode. So why not take a top five draft talent and put it on your roster? They need a running back. Their top running back right now is Kenneth Gainwell. That's it. So unless they sign like Zeke Elliott or something after the draft, I think, you know, this is the best prospect since Saquon Barkley, who went what did he go to the Giants, 5 or 6 or whatever it was?
Yeah,
2, 3. Yeah, well, I don't.
Yeah, it was
probably
than
top
that,
five. But Giants weren't in. You know, they weren't in a win now mode at that point either. Philadelphia's in a win now mode. I think if you could get 5 good years out of a running back, I think it's a safe pick. So I think Bijan Robinson to the Philadelphia Eagles makes sense here.
Yeah, I don't hate that. So go ahead and make your call that you need to make. I'll remove you from the stream real quick. I like Nichols' thought process. He went number 2, is what.
Yeah, Saquon went 2. So I remember this conversation because I thought Sam Darnold should have been the pick.
Yeah,
boy, was I fucking wrong.
An epic moment in family divided history, right there.
Because guess who's still at his team, and guess who's on another team? I think he's on his 4th team already. So, put it out like
Sam
that.
Sam Darnold is trash, but I like what he was saying, that the Eagles are in win now mode. They definitely are. So get a day one starter in Tyree Wilson, who is still on my board, linebacker out of Texas Tech. He had 14 tackles for a loss last year and 7 sacks. I think he starts from day one for the Eagles, who did lose a little bit. You know, they didn't have money to re-sign everybody, so reamp that defense. And I think Tyree Wilson fits in well there in Philadelphia. So that's who I have them taking.
I also agree with Nickel. I know he's taking a call right now, but I have them taking Bijan Robinson. I think, like, he's a 3-down back. He's going to be really good. I think it's a perfect fit for them, especially the guy is going to be explosive out of the backfield. Pair with Jalen Hurts, Bijan Robinson. I think that's the perfect pick for them. Why go waste picks in draft capital on getting Derrick Henry, where Bijan Robinson might fall to you at 10. If he doesn't, then go get Derrick Henry, because I keep hearing rumors about that as well.
But I heard those have kind of died down a little bit, though.
They are. If Robinson's still there, you got to take him. But they can fill. There's a couple of people. The Philadelphia Eagles are in a great spot. They just went to the Super Bowl. They barely lost the Super Bowl. And they have a top 10 pick because the team they trade – I forgot who was this trade from. Does anyone remember?
Was it the – Nichols mic is muted right now, so maybe he knows it.
I got it. Saints.
Yep, that's
it. Saints.
So yeah, I mean they're ready to win. They're going to be a top. They're going to be a playoff team in the NFC. So there's no doubt about it.
They should win that division.
Should. I mean, the Cowboys are still there. Cowboys were good last year too. I mean,
good God, the Eagles, why do you always love the Cowboys every year?
I was right. They got to the playoffs last year, and I got shit. What
they do?
They choke like they always do.
But they all said they thought they were. Yeah, they were solid, but the Eagles were better. The Eagles were really good last year. Really, so really good. Any of those, Bijan Robinson or Tyree Wilson, that'd be a great pick if they were to get him at.
I'm surprised we all have Bijan Robinson in the top 10, honestly.
That is shocking. What
they say about running backs is like, oh, running backs should not go that high, blah, blah, blah. But
generational running backs, though, that's tough.
I think he's the best running back prospect since Saquon Barkley, which was.
And while you were on the phone, Saquon Barkley was the number 2 pick. Tyler looked it up.
Wow.
Remember the Sam Darnold Saquon debate we had?
I remember that, but
how could you forget?
So I think the 10th overall pick, it's not crazy. So,
all right. So this one is not as fun for me. I have the Titans picking at number 11, but they're going to get a good old lineman and Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. They need a lot. Go with the safe pick. Protect the quarterback, whoever that quarterback may be. Skoronski out of Northwestern is going to be a solid player in the NFL in my eyes. So I have the Titans taking him at number 11. What about you, Tyler?
Well, this is where Cardinals. I have Arizona slotted now. So instead of the Titans, I have Arizona here because Tennessee moved up. I have them taking Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher from Iowa. So they're still going to fill a need after losing Jay Watt and needing edge rushing. They just moved back, got some more picks because their roster is not good. I know he was never a starter, but he's going to be a four-down lineman in the NFL. He definitely reminds people of J.J. Watt. I know that for a fact.
For sure.
J.J. Watt went to Wisconsin, but still.
Same Big Ten motor.
Big Ten motor. He's going to be tough to handle for offensive linemen. I think he's going to be a good fit for Arizona. And they get an edge rusher, getting some picks back in the draft. So that's where I have them going at 11.
Okay. What about you, Nickel?
I have the same as you, Kyle. Peter Skoronski. I think if the Titans don't trade up, trade up and try to get a quarterback, because I know they're not really sold on keeping Tannehill, but they really need an O-line. I mean, their O-line is pretty bad. And Skoronski, he played left tackle at Northwestern. I know there's concern about his arm size, and they think he's more of a guard in the NFL. That's why I really don't see the Bears taking him, because I think they're fine at guard. They need the tackle. But anyways, Titans, they need guard, tackle, center. He can play all three positions. He's played all three positions in college and in high school. So Skoronski, he might even go higher than 11th pick here. But Titans, if Skoronski's still here, take him. I think he is a for sure thing. He's ready to play in the NFL. Just might be at guard instead of tackle.
It's about time we agreed on a pick. I don't think we've agreed since Bryce Young at number 1. finally.
This draft could be crazy, so who knows?
Dude, I tell you what, when we look back at these mock drafts that we do, we're lucky to get 6 right. It is so hard. Even the experts are barely getting any right because you just don't know what's going to happen.
And I've seen mock drafts all over the place on this draft. I mean, I think it's wide open.
Well,
it's,
haven't they said there's a lot of first-round talent as a whole in this draft, or is it the opposite?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of deeper talent. Yeah, so it's not like there's a lot of first round talent, like top tier talent, but it's more spread out. So, you could get that fourth round guy that can end up being a second round talent and, stuff like that. But it's not as like congested up, up top on the first round.
Yeah. Just reading
there's a lot of guys probably projected like late second or early third round that could go late or, late first round. That's how crazy, how big of a talent gap there could be.
What were you going to say, Tyler?
Yeah, just looking at like researching everything, there's only like some of the guys who've come out, like some GMs and scouts, they only have like 14 to 13 first round grades on players in this draft. But there's a lot of second and third round grades on a lot of round, like all the way up to the fifth round. It's a deep draft in the middle. So if you have a lot of picks in the middle, you're gonna bulk up your team, which the Bears do. So that's good there.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's not a lot
of Packers too now.
Yeah, Packers too. There's not a lot of first round talent, but there's still a first round, is how I look at it.
So you're saying there could be a lot of steals in the middle of this draft, guys, that we look back on in a couple of years. You're like, you got him in the fourth?
Yeah, second, third, and fourth rounds are actually going to be exciting this year.
Yeah. Good to know. So at number 12, I have the Houston Texans here on my mock draft. This would pain me if it actually does happen, but it makes the most sense going off of my mock. I already had CJ Stroud going number 2 to the Texans. And at number 12, I have the Texans selecting his former teammate, Jackson Smith Najigba here. I think he's the best wide receiver in this draft, a definite playmaker from day one. You pair him up with Stroud, a little bit of comfortability there. The Texans definitely need some playmakers, and Jackson Smith and Jeeba is that guy. I have him going right before my Packers, who I would like to see get Jackson Smith and Jeeba at 13, but the Texans are here at number 12 in my draft. So I got them taking Smith and Jeeba here at number 12. Tyler, what about you?
At 12, I have Houston. So taking Will Levis. I know he sucks, and I know Nickel had him trade up to get them, but I don't think people are like, I know the Raiders are interested because they're going to need someone for the future as well. But I think he just keeps falling to 12. I don't think he's anything special, and they're going to take a flyer on getting another quarterback. And if they suck next year and they realize he sucks, they're going to still have a chance to get another one. So it's not that big of a deal. So after they passed on CJ, I know he's inconsistent. He's got a lot. He turns the ball over a lot, but the problem is great size. He's got great arm strength, and he's like one of those guys that GMs fall in love with. Oh my God, look at him. Kind of like how they did with Zach Wilson or Mitch Trubisky or all these other busts.
Notice how it's always a white guy that did nothing in college that they just fall in love with the intangibles.
Exactly. It's just, there's these guys that just, they just fall in love with their intangibles. And I think at 12, it's probably worth the risk at that spot. If he's already gone by then, they're going to take a playmaker. So I think at 12, I still have him on my board. Levis is the pick for the Texans. So they end up getting Will Anderson, the best player in the draft, and a possible future quarterback. So we'll see what happens.
Gotcha. Nickel, what do you got at 12?
I had the Lions, trade down for this pick with the Texans with that Levis pick earlier. So I think you guys had Weatherspoon to the Lions. Both of you, yeah. So yep. I have him still here in my mock draft. He fell a little bit just because – like you said, Tyler, earlier with his size, he's a smaller corner, might get a little grabby, but he plays a lot bigger to his size. I think he's one of the, if not the best corner in the draft, one of, other than Gonzalez. But, Lions need secondary help. They just traded Okuda to the Falcons, right. More suspended. Their secondary was awful last year, so Weatherspoon would be a nice piece. If they ended up trading back and he fell to them, it would be a win-win for the Lions.
Oh, that'd be a massive win if Detroit can still manage to get him if they were to make a trade out of number 6 and fall into the early teens for sure. So let's move on here. Now the number 13 pick belongs to my Green Bay Packers. I could say that because I'm a fucking owner of this team. We got Jordan Love as our quarterback. We're not going to draft a quarterback, obviously. I shouldn't say that because I think the last time I said that we drafted Jordan Love, but
that did happen. That's a thing that happened.
It did happen. Go back into the annals of history of Family Divided and find out. But at number 13, Tyler, who do you have my Packers taking?
Well, it's a dream scenario for you, Kyle, because in my draft, because he's now traded up to 13, Jackson Smith and Jibba is sitting right there for them to take. And it's like a big fuck you to Aaron Rodgers. We didn't need to get you a first-round receiver, but we need to get Jordan Love a first-round receiver because we're not sure if he's going to be good. So let's surround him with Njigba, Watson, and Dobbs. Let's just keep giving them more guys for weapons because they've lost some weapons over the course of the years. Obviously, Davante Adams, Tanyan. They've lost two weapons that Rodgers actually
threw to. Valdez-Scantling, Lazard.
Valdez-Scantling, yeah, there's another one. So they have to rebuild their wide receiving core, because last year it definitely looked like there were some struggles from quarterback to receiver because there wasn't any rapport and these all new guys. I bet you Jordan Love would have had rapport because he was probably thrown to these guys because they were
he showed up to OTAs, baby.
So I think Jordan Love will probably benefit from a first round wide receiver more than Aaron Rodgers would. So I think this is the perfect pick for the Green Bay Packers.
It makes so much sense, Tyler, but it also is the Green Bay Packers, and they don't like drafting wide receivers in the first round, and they like trading back. Yeah. So but don't be surprised.
It's a big fuck you to Rodgers. Like, this is like the best thing. You trade them, then you draft a first round receiver. That's perfect.
It would be poetic. It definitely would. So, Nickel, who do you have the Packers taking?
Same guy.
Wow.
Jackson Smith, the Jeeba. I mean, I think every time we do this show, I have the Packers taking a wide receiver, and it just never happens. But
it's gonna hit once, right?
Yeah, you have two tall wide receivers in Dobbs and Watson. Smith Ajibba is a good slot guy. I think he's going to end up being the best receiver in this draft. That's my opinion. I mean, you see what – not last year he was injured, had the, you know, the injuries, he's healthy now. But 2 years ago, he was the best receiver on that Ohio State roster. You know, best – put up the best stats with Olave and Garrett Wilson side by side. So very quick slot guy, can get open. I think they need to do this for Love. They didn't sign anybody in the offseason wide receiver-wise, so I really, really think they finally take a wide receiver number one pick or first round.
I'll put it on the record. If he's still on the board and the Packers don't take them, I would be a little disappointed. But I also think this guy that is available right now definitely fits the Packers mold. Tyler talked about him a little earlier going to his team, but I think he falls here at number 13. I have the Packers taking yet again another Georgia defender, which is a common theme over the last couple of years. Quay Walker, same Eric logo. Stokes. Yeah, it's an easy transition for these guys. So I have the Packers taking edge rusher Nolan Smith. Fits right into their 3-4 style defense. An outside linebacker to go alongside Quay Walker, Devondre Campbell, and Rayshon Gary, who is coming off of that ACL injury. I think he's athletic, like Tyler was saying earlier, which fits that kind of mold that the Packers are looking for. Get to the quarterback, cause some havoc, and give Jordan Love more opportunities to be on the field by forcing turnovers and keeping the other team off the field. So I got him falling to number 13, Nolan Smith, edge rusher out of Georgia. So we got two more picks until we go to our rapid fire part of the draft. Let's go to the New England Patriots at number 14. Nicole, I'll let you go.
I have Nolan Smith to the Patriots. He's still on my board here. Like I was saying before the show, I'm having a hard time gauging where he goes. He could go as high as 8, maybe to the Falcons, low as 26, 27. He really didn't have a lot of production at Georgia, but he has the traits to be a great player. You know, sub 440 as a line, you know, outside edge linebacker. And I think he'll just fit that Belichick defense role pretty well. You know, on the other side, they have Matthew Judon. He had a breakout year last year with the Pats. So I think you plug in Nolan Smith. They need an athletic guy to run guy, you know, run the quarterback down, run running backs down. I think this is a great pick for the Pats if Nolan Smith is still on the board.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Patriots are one of the safest organizations in football. I don't think you get more safe than an offensive lineman. I have them taking Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. Bolster up that offensive line a little bit, protect Mac Jones. If he is their guy, who knows? But, yeah, that's what I got going here, number 14 to the Patriots, Tyler.
Just so you know, on the last pick, if you want to bet on the Packers drafting a wide receiver in the first round, it's plus 270 right now. I'm just saying. Like,
that seems like history.
That seems like a good bet because, like, right now it's defensive.
It does. Until they don't favorite. Do it.
Yeah. Until they fuck around like, and move back. Yeah.
I always feel like that's a good bet right now. It's just having them take a Jigba.
It should be, but.
But, yeah, so for New England, I'm going to go with Kyle on this one. I think they're going to be play it safe. I have to switch up my draft a little bit because of the Green Bay move up. I think New England selects, because I still have Paris Johnson Jr. on the board. I think they take Paris Johnson Jr. at 14. So that's where I think the switch, just because. I mean, he's been one of the best of like offensive tackle. He's easily the best offensive tackle in the draft. He's number 9 on most people's big boards. He's in the top 10 in most people's big boards. The only question is, in some Big Ten games, he got beat. Like Lucas Van Ness beat him a lot in the season. Like the last time they played, Van Ness bullied Paris Johnson. So he's gonna have to take some adjustments. But I think they're gonna have to protect Bailey Zappe because I don't think Mac Jones is the answer.
I don't either. Neither is Zappe or whatever the fuck his name is.
I think Zappe is the answer. I like Zappe.
He had like two good games.
I'll take two good games.
And then the Bears shut him down.
Yeah, you know it's bad when the Bears are shutting you down. So
that was our last win. Let's not forget
that. Yeah, that was the last win. Monday Night Football. I still remember that.
The good old days, right? You might get a few more wins.
They were 3-4.
I forgot about that.
It all worked out.
It did. It did for sure. So last pick we're going to talk about in depth is now the New York Jets at number 15. I think it stays the same. I think they were going offensive lineman regardless because they've already shopped for all their weapons like we talked about. Now get a guy to protect Aaron Rodgers, and I think that guy is from Georgia, Broderick Jones, offensive lineman there. Nickel.
I have the same, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle. So we agree again, Kyle. Mekhi Becton, he was their tackle last year, but he got hurt like this. I think the first game of the year, was out all year. So who knows what his injury status is. So, you know, protect Rodgers. Broderick Jones, I think at this point, is the best tackle left on my draft board. So Broderick Jones to New York.
Tyler.
I still have Skoronski on the board, so I think they take Peter Skoronski, the offensive tackle slash guard from Northwestern. So they're going to need to protect Rodgers now, so they're going to need to keep adding linemen because they've already got their weapons, they got the running backs, they've got the receivers, they've got the defense. Just keep adding people on the offensive line because they had a little issue with that last year, and they're going to be off to the races. I think that division's theirs to lose.
Yeah, I think they're third place in that division. I'm not buying the Jets. I'm sorry.
I don't buy the Bills.
Ooh.
I
just don't buy them.
But maybe another episode.
Oh, we got Robot Cole again. Robot Cole. Oh, we're gonna have to remove you and bring him back. We'll bring him back in. He can just restart it. We'll figure it out. So I hope Nickel can still hear what I'm saying. If not, I will repeat it. So, Tyler, my thinking was here for the last picks. We'll do five at a time, kind of rapid fire here since we're a little over an hour now. And you could say maybe a few things if you would like. So go 16 to 20. Tell me what you got shaken out here in the first round.
Okay, at 16, I think it was the last pick for both of you guys. I have the Commanders taking Broderick Jones. They need another offensive tackle, offensive lineman, and they got a new owner. Maybe they make a splash and go get Lamar Jackson in the offseason during the draft. Lamar's probably going to stay with Baltimore, but right now I think they need to build their depth as well. So I think at 16, I got Broderick Jones. 17 is an easy one. I have Pittsburgh taking Joey Porter Jr. I mean, his dad played for them. I think it's a good slot end pick at that point. And at this point in the draft, it's starting to get real difficult to make picks and see where players are going. At 18, Detroit, I have them taking Dalton Kincaid to add to their offense and add a tight end to their system after trading Hockenson. Yes, they won that deal, but now they have a chance to get another tight end who could probably be better than Hockenson was, and Kincaid, or at this point, Michael Mayer. Either one is probably going to be better than Hockenson. At 19, I have Tampa taking Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle from Tennessee. They need to replace and get more offensive linemen down there for Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield. Who knows who their quarterback's going to be. And then at 20, I have Seattle taking Zay Flowers, wide receiver from Boston College. I think they need to upgrade their wide receiving core. It can't just be DK Metcalf and a bunch of old people running around him. Yes, I just called Tyler Lockett old, but they need to upgrade that position as well because Geno Smith needs some more weapons, and Geno Smith is a good quarterback at this point in his career. So might as well play it while you have the chance.
16 through 20, Nickel. How's it shaking out for you?
Let's see here. So you guys can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Because I could hear you guys, so I don't know why I keep cutting in and out. But Washington Commanders, I have Dalton Kincaid, tight end, Utah. You know, if it wasn't for his back, he had a back injury, he could probably be a top 10 pick. This guy was a stud, had the most receiving yards out of any tight end in the last 2 years. So
could be a Packer.
Commanders need a tight end too, so I have him going there. Steelers, Joey Porter Jr., they really need some corner help. They lost Cam Sutton to the Lions in the offseason. He's a really tall lockdown corner, would be great for the Steelers secondary. Detroit Lions, I still have Lucas Van Ness on the board. If Lucas Van Ness is still there with the Lions pick, this would be great. I think they go defensive again after taking a corner earlier. You know, they need help on the defense, and Lucas Van Ness has really stepped up this year. Number 19, Tampa Bay Bucks, Brian Branch, defensive back, Alabama. He could play in the slot. He could play safety. You know, Tampa Bay needs that guy in the secondary after, you know, Winfield. So they really have no one else. You know, I think I'm pretty sure they retained Carlton or what was the other guy's name. But anyways, I think Branch, if he's still here, Tampa takes him. And then Seattle Seahawks, Miles Murphy. I think this guy has fallen for whatever reason in this draft. I don't know if it's just because of production, but if he's still there at the 20th picks, Seahawks need some defensive line help. And I think Miles is a great edge defender, and Seattle takes him here.
Yeah. And please note, there's only 31 picks in the first round this year, not 32. Do you guys know why?
Yeah. Thanks, Miami. Miami forfeited their pick for talking to Tom Brady on a boat.
There you go. That is exactly why they don't have a pick. So, Also, for the record, a lot of the names you're going to hear, because, you know, similar spots here in the draft, just different teams. So I have the Commanders at number 16 getting Christian Gonzalez. He's still on my board out of Oregon, who is a very talented corner. That's a positional need for them. So I have him going to Washington at 16. At 17, I got the Steelers taking Lucas Van Ness. I just think he fits the Steelers' mold. He's kind of like a TJ Watt there. So that'll be interesting to see if that's the case at number 17. At 18, I got Joey Porter Jr. going to the Lions out of Penn State, another talented corner. His dad, like you said, Tyler, played in the NFL, so he's got the lineage. At number 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking a very talented Miles Murphy, defensive end out of Clemson. You talked about him a little bit, Nickel, but if they were to get him at 19, I think that is a definite win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then I also have the Seahawks taking a weapon, Jordan Addison out of USC. Is a name that some people could say is the best receiver in the draft, but in my opinion, I got him falling here to number 20 to Seattle. So that's who I got them taking right there. Tyler, do you got something else to add?
Yeah, I think it's like you said there, the Steelers were taking Lucas Van Ness. Like, that's a Steelers motto. Put more strength to your strength. Like, you've already got good pass rushing ability. Let's just add some fucking more pass rushing ability. And I've heard that over many mock draft podcasts that they're taking a defensive lineman here. It's just like, you're just going to keep adding defensive linemen. Do you need defensive linemen?
And I can visually just see Van Ness in a Steelers uniform.
Yeah,
And honestly, Iowa colors. I had a hard time trying to figure out who's going to take Van Ness, because I just feel like there's 5, 6, 7 teams within a range of 15 picks that could take him. So I think he was a hard one to gauge, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. So we got 10 more picks. Tyler, if you think you're capable of rattling off 10, I'll just let you go through the last 10 quickly here.
All right. So at 21, I've got the Chargers selecting Brian Easy, defensive tackle from Clemson. I think they need a little bit of help up front. 22, Baltimore selecting Jordan Addison, who I think is the best receiver in the class.
I think
they get a steal here, and it's going to help them adding Odell Beckham, Addison, and Devin Duvernay. I don't know who else they have at this point, because I can never remember, because their receivers stink every single year.
Sammy Watkins,
what did Nickel say?
Rashad Bateman. Did you say that?
And Bateman, yeah. No, yeah, I didn't say Bateman. 23, Minnesota selecting Deontay Banks, defensive back from Maryland. 24, Jacksonville, Brian Branch, because they're going to need safety help from Bama. 25, DJ Turner, defensive back for the Giants from Michigan. 26, I have Dallas replacing their tight end with Michael Mayer, and it's like from Notre Dame. At 27, I have Buffalo taking Osiris Torrance, a guard from Florida.
Hell of a name.
That's a great name, but they need a guard. 28, I have Anton Harrison, offensive tackle as well from OU. It's a question mark for me, but I think they need to add more linemen, no matter where they're going to put them, because I know they just signed off the top
Orlando
of my head.
Brown.
Signed Orlando Brown, but they need more linemen for Joe Burrow because he keeps getting hit, period.
Yeah.
29, New Orleans. Again, I don't know why this guy fell in my draft too. Miles Murphy, edge from Clemson. If I'm New Orleans, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
30, I have Philly taking Emmanuel Forbes, from defensive back from Mississippi State. And 31, KC taking Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU.
Ooh, if Quentin Johnson was there for KC, that would be a nice pick for them at 31. All right, Nickel, 10 more picks remaining. How's it looking?
All right, I have the Los Angeles Chargers going Darnell Wright, tackle Tennessee. They need a starting right tackle, and that's what Darnell Wright is. He's the best right tackle, I think, in this draft. Baltimore Ravens. They could go receiver here, but I really think they need cornerback help. So I think Deontay Banks, cornerback Maryland, this guy, great outside corner, maybe one of the best in the draft. Great player for Maryland. Minnesota Vikings. They lost Adam Thielen, so I think they take Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College. This guy is an athletic freak stud out of the slot. I think he may even go higher than this pick.
Some people think he could go top 10. Like, I've seen mocks that have
him. He's been all over. He honestly, at the end of the college football year, he was like only projected as like a high end third round, low end second round pick. But now I think he's definitely going first round, especially after the combine.
Agreed.
Number 24, Jacksonville Jaguars. Osiris Terrence. They need a guard. Why not keep the guy from Florida? New York Giants, Quentin Johnson. I have him going here because, you know, they have a lot of slot receivers, slot, you know, really short, fast guys. And they need that big guy that could go up there and get the ball. I think Quentin Johnson would be good for Giants. You know, you just signed Daniel Jones, so give him some weapons. Number 26, Dallas Cowboys, Kalijah Kancey, defensive lineman, Pitt. He's kind of undersized, but this guy can rush the quarterback from the interior defensive line. That's what they need. Pair him with Micah Parsons. Unstoppable. Yeah. Buffalo Bills at number 27. This one is kind of my outlier in the first round. Drew Sanders, linebacker, Arkansas. I'm telling you what, this guy's going to go in the first round. He can play the weak side linebacker. He can play as an edge rusher. I think he had over 8 sacks last year for Arkansas. Great size, great speed. So Buffalo Bills, you know what? You lost Tremaine Edmonds. Need more pass rushing. I think this is a perfect fit for him. Cincinnati Bengals at 28. Michael Mayer. I finally have him going off the board. They need a tight end. They lost Hayden Hurst. Can't rely on Irv Smith Jr. So I like Michael Mayer here. Number 29, New Orleans Saints. Brian Brees. I don't really know a lot about this guy. He's kind of all over the board in mock drafts, but they need interior defensive line help. So I think Brees is the best available at this point. Philadelphia Eagles. I really like Keon White. The only reason that a lot of people don't have him in the first round is because of his age. I think he's 24 years old, just turned 24. So he's kind of on the high end, but he is definitely one of the best pass rushers in this draft. And, you know, Brandon Graham, he's getting older. He probably only has one more year, so you need to back him up. And then I have Kansas City Chiefs going Will McDonald, another edge rusher. They just dropped Frank Clark. They only have Carl Velasquez on the other side. They need more pass rushing. Will McDonald probably has the best pass rushing moves in this draft. So I think Chiefs take him here.
All righty. So for my last 10 picks, I got the Los Angeles Chargers at 21, taking Brian Branch, corner out of Alabama. I don't think you can do wrong taking a guy from Alabama, especially at pick number 21. So the Chargers definitely need to work on their secondary. I think he helps. And then at number 22, I have the Baltimore Ravens taking Quentin Johnson out of TCU. This is a guy I think that's going to surprise some people. Obviously, he's a first-round talent, but I think this is definitely a playmaker that is going to complement OBJ and Rashad Bateman very well there in Baltimore. And it might entice Lamar Jackson to stay with Baltimore, just adding him on top of OBJ. At number 23, I have the Minnesota Vikings taking Julius Brents, cornerback out of Kansas State. They need some secondary help as well, so that's who I got them taking. At number 24, the Jaguars taking Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback out of Mississippi State. That one might surprise some people, but I think the Jaguars definitely address defense there.
He's a stud. 24. He's so skinny. So I think that's why he does have first round talent. He just may slip off into the second round just because I think he's only like 165 pounds at 6 foot tall. So
hit the gym, Forbes.
You got to tackle NFL players, but he's a ball hawk. Really, I like that player.
Yeah, that'd be a good pick for them right there. I have the Giants taking linebacker Jack Campbell out of Iowa. That might surprise some people, but I definitely think the Giants need to address the linebacker position. Then, similar to what Tyler was saying, I think the Cowboys replace Dalton Schultz with another Dalton. Dalton Kincaid is still on the board for me. Tight end out of Utah, definitely the best receiving tight end in this draft. If the Cowboys were to be able to get him late in the first, I think that is a great value for them there. Then I have the Bills at number 27 taking Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama. Yes, I have two running backs going in the first round. The Bills really have never had that go-to running back, and I think Gibbs could definitely be that for them. Then I have the Bengals also addressing the tight end position, going Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame. Obviously, me and Tyler are big fans since we're Notre Dame football guys. I think he'd be a good fit for Joe Burrow there late in the first round. Then I got Kalijah Kancey going to the Saints in the third to last pick of the first round. The Eagles taking defensive tackle Mazi Smith out of Michigan in the second to last pick. And then the Chiefs addressing the offensive line, the Super Bowl champions taking Anton Harrison, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. So after a minute and 15 or an hour and 15, not a minute and 15, we definitely went over that hour and 15 minutes. We have finish the first round NFL mock draft. So I do not know when the next time we are going to be coming to you guys with a podcast, whether it be under the OTSN umbrella or under Family Divided's name. But Tyler, I had a pleasure reuniting with you for a brief period of time. Maybe we should do this again sometime. What do you say?
I think so. I think during the season we can do this once or twice and try to give a little bit of an update of what's going on during the season. But yeah, I got two questions for you guys. My own little personal mailbag, if you don't mind.
I'm ready. Fire away.
Who's the last Notre Dame tight end to play for the Bengals?
I have no idea.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on, Tyler Eifert.
There it is. All right. So Nickel got it. And then second, do you guys think someone's going to take the risk to drafting going up into the first round to get that fifth-year contract for Hendon Hooker? I know he's older, but is someone going to draft go into the late first, like it maybe picks 26 to 31, and try to get that fifth year? I think it's a possibility. I just don't know. I thought about putting it in my draft and saying that one of the top five teams.
There's definitely a possibility because I know there's a lot. If he did tear his ACL last year,
right,
he would be for sure first round pick. I think someone would definitely pick him.
He's gonna be 26 after the year. Like, he's gonna be 26 after his rookie year.
He is very old, but at the same time, it's like, hey, he's so experienced. We could get that fifth year option cheap while he's still in his prime. Yeah, late, I don't know.
First round.
If someone's really, you know, one of those top tier, if someone misses out on their quarterback, maybe in the, you know, first couple of rounds, like maybe the Titans or something, and they want to take a flyer on him going into their, you know, trade up into the late first and pick him. Yeah, I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. Like if Hendon Hooker is picked in the first round, like the later first round or early second round, I wouldn't be too surprised because like I said, he has great talent. He's you know, very smart, genuine guy. I think a lot of teams would be lucky to have him. It's just coming off that ACL tear at 25 years old. So who knows?
I agree. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it's going to happen. But a team I would keep an eye on too is the Detroit Lions. I talked about them earlier, maybe taking a risk. If you want that fifth year option, because I know you still got Jared Goff on contract for a couple more years, if I'm not mistaken, just keep him waiting in the wings. Maybe it won't be a long wait because maybe Goff shits the bed, but keep an eye on the Lions, maybe taking a quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Keep an eye on the Vikings.
Yeah, that too.
Keep an eye on the Vikings because I think it's to the time where, you know, they don't mind Kirk, but he's getting up there in age. They're not going to want to repay him. Why not try to take a flyer on someone at this point? I saw a couple mock drafts that had the Vikings either trading up and getting one of the top guys or getting Hendon Hooker later in the round or later in the first round. So
I saw them trading up to take Anthony Richardson in a few drafts. So
that would be wild if they traded up into the top like seven to like save like Detroit's like, all right, we'll give us some more picks that you guys gave us for Hawkinson. We'll take that. Yeah, and right. They take like Richardson or Levis or something like that.
I wonder what Viking Scott would think about that.
maybe he'll respond to this episode once we tweet it out. So surprise, we're back one time only. Nickel, any final remarks before we sign off for a while?
No, it was nice doing this again. Like I said, I look forward to the draft every year. I think it's really cool. And you know, the Bears have not had a lot of first round picks over the last 5 years or so. So having, you know, the ninth pick overall and then you having, you know, four picks in the top 64 picks, it's an exciting time. I really like the draft. I think a lot can happen in this draft. I think there's going to be some surprises like there was last year. And who knows what, you know, with the whole Lamar Jackson situation, maybe something comes about on Thursday night with that. So should be interested to see.
We do not have to wonder about the Aaron Rodgers situation anymore. That's for damn
settled.
Sure. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet and Jordan Love is the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. So Tyler, why don't you send us home?
For my cousin, Kyle Gagliardi, for our special guest who always joins us for the NFL mock draft, Zach Nickel. Thank you, everyone, and drive safe.
Sipped.